You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Imagine, if you will, a collective of filmmakers with so little money, they decided, what the hell, let's do essentially a podcast, but film it, and make it an episode of The Twilight Zone. This is The Vast of Night. And now I can't do the music, because much like them, I'd get sued.
Right.
We are talking about a horror movie that premiered, I don't think it was its world premiere, but one of its big premieres at Fantastic Fest, The Vast of Night. Certainly, and there's nothing wrong with being a very low budget, a horror movie that is, or sci-fi movie more than a horror movie even, that's choosing to explore things through a angle that not only saves them money, but is kind of experimental and different. But is it effective? That is the question I'll be putting in front of our critics today. Said critics being Harmony.
Hello.
Ray. And Neil.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Neil, this is your first review with us. Is that correct?
I did a Legion Season 1 like a couple years ago, but first review of this run.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's right. You were on that. We should have had you back for 2 and 3. Oh, well. Now we know. Anyway, what did you think of Legion 2 and Season 2 and 3, by the way, just briefly?
Oh, loved them just as much as I did the first.
Okay.
And loved that ending. I thought it was a really good cap to it all.
Yeah, I thought Season 3 wrapped things up quite nicely. Anyway, so this particular episode, it feels like an episode. We're talking about it because they set up the whole thing, literally starting with like a guy imitating Rod Serling and doing like a Twilight Zone type intro, and then turns like, you know, focuses in on the TV, which expands to be the screen in black and white, which gradually turns to color, which like, okay.
I swore it was him at first.
No, because, you know, he's been dead for a really long time and it's
he's
not
been
the
dead
same
a while. That'd be really weird.
I thought it was a recording of the original Twilight Zone intro and everything.
It was such a good impression, but it was an impression because he's introducing Paradox Theater, not Twilight Zone, for legal reasons, obviously, and there is no such thing. Or at least not in Rod Serling's time.
Right.
Which I assume Paradox Theater is considered to some degree, is probably being used to some degree as a production moniker for this particular company, or will be in the future, GED Cinema. But they want you to think of that right off the bat. And not even newer anthology shows. They want you to think of classic, old school Twilight Zone. And the whole thing does take place in one night in the 1950s. It feels almost more like a old timey radio show in many ways than it does an episode. And I kept thinking during it, I was like, why do I feel like this whole thing was originally written as a podcast series? And somebody was like, no, we should just make a movie out of it.
To me, it kind of felt like a stage production.
Ooh, me too.
I could see this being like performed in community theater, you know?
Certainly.
Or even a better theater. I don't know.
Well, yes, they start the tone and kind of steal from Twilight Zone, but I agree with Chris, more of the radio, this is paying and stealing from War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Because you said horror, you slipped and said horror earlier, but I think that's the trick they did on purpose of the sound that's going out over and then the callers coming in with, I kind of know what this is. Like, they're ramping. And because we've seen and digested so much of this, we kind of have an expectation that they're like, ha, not what you think. But I got more of a War of the Worlds vibe than a stage play vibe.
Yeah, I did too. And I think really it was just because there were so many tricks in here that are like very audio radio tricks and also used in audio dramas that felt more like that, unique to that than to the stage. And of course, obviously, as you're saying, its roots are so from War of the Worlds here, both in story and style. The story being the switchboard operator, Faye, played by a recognizable actress, Sarah McCormick, who has been in a couple different things. She got her start on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader as a regular, and then moved to playing a semi-reoccurring character on Supernatural.
That's adorable. The fifth grade part. No.
not the supernatural. Hey, I think the supernatural part's adorable. I'm the big Lilith fan. Agreed. So anyway, she plays the switchboard operator. There's a radio DJ, Everett, played by Jake Horowitz. They're teenagers in Cayuga, New Mexico, which incidentally, another nod to Rod Serling as his there is no Cayuga, New Mexico, but Cayuga was the name of Rod Serling's production company. Interesting.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I didn't even catch that. Yeah.
I mean, not like this needed another tip of the hat. It couldn't be more overt about it. But anyway, the idea is there's a really weird audio frequency that seems to be coming through radio waves. The radio DJ's picking it up. She's picking up on our switchboard. And they're talking about it a lot. The whole first third to half of this film is them talking about this. What do you think that sound is? And vague reports coming in possibly of people seeing lights or things in the sky. And then eventually culminating to, okay, so are there aliens or are they not? I mean, this is a very familiar scenario. It's a very, like, this whole thing I think I've seen play out in the sequence before the credit start of an X-Files episode.
Yeah, that's fair. I enjoy this. I've been watching a lot of the alien things. It just been what I've signed up for, you know, like proximity and solar opposites. I actually really enjoyed this, though. Like, I enjoyed the feel of it, you know, zooming in and out of the TV and then like the weird Sam Raimi cam that's just kind of randomly in the middle. You know,
it was so random.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, right. It's a movie, not a podcast or an audio or radio show. We should do something that you could only do in a movie.
Let's do one long continuous shot and then never explain it. Yes.
Well, on that show, I think what they're going for is to give you scope of how small this town really is. But I found those things distracting. Like, I loved a lot of this, but those things of they're paying homage to the 50s with the Twilight Zone and the look, which I think they nailed the look. They probably spent 90% of the budget on production and costumes and stuff, and they seem to nail it without going stereotypical. Like any show or movie in the 80s, let's get some leg warmers and shoulder pads and big hair. They didn't do all that stuff, but then when you get that POV from her desk to his desk and how they shot some of the scenes with the cars like rotating around and through the windows, it felt like a sizzle reel. And if you know, this is one of this director's first real things. It seems like it's a resume of these are all the things I can do. And if he's paying homage to the 50s, I'd feel like do more of the style of those black and white 50 drama, horror, sci-fi things instead of like, here's all the tricks I know how to do with lighting and cameras and stuff.
I couldn't find a budget number on this one per se. I'm sure that they weren't, you know, there was no particular reason to crow about it. It couldn't have been particularly high. I suspect the bulk of it just went to their cast, who even then are not like huge stars. But I mean, like they have Gail Cronauer, who has had jobs all through her career, go to JFK, Walker, Texas Ranger, stuff like that, who has one really great scene as an older lady who's had an experience. Mm-hmm, yep. Would they come interview? In fact, I would say that's probably the best scene in the film. But that being said, you're right. It does have that feeling of look what we can do at points. Here's a story that there's really not much to tie together these cool things we can do. And hey, why doesn't somebody give us a budget and then we can really show you? This felt like... Right. Why is this a full-length movie when it should have been like a 15-minute short film to do just that and could have done that really like even more effectively? I feel like it would have gotten in front of even more of the right eyes that way. I mean, some people really liked this, which is
me.
An odd path this film took considering it was rejected by something like 20 film festivals before it finally got picked up by Slam Dance in 2019. And then it won the Audience Award for Best Narrative Feature at TIFF. It got picked up after that, first runner up for People's Choice Award in Midnight Madness and the Jury Award at the Overlook Film Festival and more besides that. So once it actually finally, somebody was like, okay, sure, we'll give it a shot. Audiences did in fact really respond to it. And maybe it is a theatrical experience type of film with a crowd. Cause I found myself going, why is this as long as it is? When is something more going to happen? I feel like I got the gist. Let's move this along.
Oh, I really dug this. And it was the second time that I had seen it because I did see it at Fantastic Fest as well. And yeah, it did seem a little longer without the audience this time than it did the first time. But what still stood out for me, what still made it work were the two lead actors, and especially Sierra, who's playing Faye. She has a lot of lines and a lot of lines very fast. She has a lot of dialogue and she's doing a great job at this part. And because there's really only two actors on the screen most of the time, if they didn't work, nothing. I mean, this thing would have gone down in flames, I think, because of some of the other shortfalls.
I agree.
There's no way, because 90% of it is dialogue between those two characters.
Exactly. But I thought they pulled it off wonderfully, and I really enjoyed watching Sierra McCormick work in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and points as well to actor Bruce Davis, who is only is presented as a voice over the radio twice.
Amazing.
As
oh my God. Billy, I loved Billy.
Who's Billy also giving his perspective on the story, and he's really good. Like, I mean, he's achieving a lot through his voice work. And this is what, like I said, reminded me a lot of a podcast like The Black Tapes or something, where I was like, wow, this is, if this had been the sort of thing that was doing this over time, like, oh, we're doing 8 episodes and each one kind of focuses around a call and then the characters having something happen to them, I would be totally into this.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed like the whole part with Billy. Like, I was just in rapture, like just watching it and listening to it, and like I could actually imagine him as like this older African American gentleman who had been in the military, maybe did some sketchy stuff, you know, that kind of thing. So,
do you have a whole like miniature side story written about this character?
I do.
Is it erotic?
Let's do that movie.
No, I'm not going to share my fan fiction right now, but I will tell you that me and my husband were both watching it, and we were just like entranced. Like it was really cool.
Well, I think it's another homage to Twilight Zone, where isolation and half information, like phone calls kept cutting off at weird times, but also race is playing into it too. And these are all things Serling would play with, how diversity creates problems, or the lack of people wanting to allow diversity, basically race. Sometimes he did it with alien races, but
right.
I felt that it was all pulling from old storylines that he would keep going back to, the isolation, the small town. Mm-hmm. I only know half the story, you know, and race coming in there, because it's, you don't know for sure about Billy's race. And he even, is that okay? He asks Everett, is that okay? And then you get the, he's in the know for this because they were just being tossed into these shit jobs that were risky and people kept getting sick. So just
like what actually happened?
It reminds me of South Park, Operation yeah. Human Shield, where let's just put them up front so that we don't, they're expendable.
Yeah. Right. No, I see that as well. Certainly. I do think this is going to be a lot more appealing. I think it's going to be appealing for people to come into this with the right attitude, to expect an old school Twilight Zone-y type of episode rather than something that's trying to do something wildly new. I do think that those zooms at the town shots, while that was certainly what they were trying to establish, as you were saying, Neil, like, oh, the scope of the town, they were very distracting because mm-hmm. everything else felt so almost claustrophobic.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think you need more than 15 minutes to tell a story, but 90, there's some trim here. If we trim out some of these tricks, and how many times were we going to see them playing around with the recorder? I know it was a new thing, but they interviewed, quote unquote, interviewed like 3 families, basically just saying, no, we're recording. Oh, you're recording. And that was the extent of it.
That was the conversation every time. Yeah.
I think you could cut 10 minutes out and it would be really sleek, like a UFO.
you're probably right, about 10 minutes, maybe even 15, but yeah, the bulk of it is that stuff. Like, what was the point of this scene? They could have done this once. There was no reason to keep going over it. It felt a lot like one of those films that had a short film but too long to be a short film and too short to be a feature, so we have to come up with something to stretch out the time.
Oh yeah, I could spend time
with
them.
I was just saying, give those actors more time, because I feel like those audience awards were basically for them. For those two, the old woman they interview, like, they're all, like, if you cut 10, 15 minutes of camera tricks and put 10, 15 more minutes of Faye and Everett running around trying to figure shit out, like, that works. I'm on board.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Neil, keep going. And has your wife, Ray, explained to you how the arbitrary award system, review system works?
Yes.
Okay.
I really liked it. I could recommend it to a lot of my friends, but, like you were tapping into, Chris, people that have give it patience or have an appreciation for kind of the episodal Twilight Zone. Hey, there's a message here or whatever. But I found the Paradox Theater stuff distracting, even though it happened 4 times. The camera shots was like, oh, what are we doing this? I would have to give it like 8 out of 10 hula hoops.
cool. Okay.
Sticking with the 50s theme.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Right.
For me, I felt a lot of the same things that Neil did. Like I said, I'd seen it twice. I enjoyed it both times, and there are a lot of people in my circle that I could recommend this to. And I just enjoyed the actors so much. I really did. I really thought, hey, you know, it might be cool if I had lived, you know, back in that 50s town to know Faye when I was in high school, you know, because I think we would have probably hung out because I was a geek too.
You would have been.
You know, imagine that. I just loved the acting, and I think it's a real good study when you watch that, because you are enthralled by these two people when they are basically the only things on screen. So I, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it 8 alien frequent flyer miles.
Nice.
Like, 8 miles isn't very far. You know?
Not in alien terms, probably not, but, you know.
In M terms it is, though.
Yes.
Anyway, oh, yes.
Harmony?
Oh my God, we had to bring in Eminem. Yeah. I really enjoyed this. I only saw it the one time, but Emmerich and Faye are really endearing to watch. Really, I loved their chemistry. I loved, you know, watching them run across town. And when Faye would just start running and Emmerich had to go get her with the car, I thought that was funny every time. So, I enjoy this. I recommend it to anybody who really liked Twilight Zone or Outer Limits or any of those type of shows. But it definitely felt like it could have been an episode or a radio play or something like that. So I will give it, I don't know, let's say 8 out of 10 backstories that we never got to hear.
Well, you guys liked it a lot more than I did. I found this interesting but intolerably slow. I like these characters, but it was too much of them. I wanted to see more people for them to interview. And as it is, it just kind of crawled through things while 15, 20 minutes in, I was pretty sure how this was going to end. And sure enough, that's exactly where we got to. There just aren't any surprises. The whole thing felt, like I said, like they could have done this at the beginning credits of an X-Files episode. In fact, I think I've seen that episode more than once. It's just... I think there's some admirable work here from, look, like Neil said, look what we can do with probably almost no budget. And there's certainly some strong performances, but that does not a movie make for me. I wanted a lot more than what we actually got here. It's one of the things you go, wow, how cool, what a fun idea to do a Twilight Zone. But by like 30 minutes, I was like, let's wrap this up. I'm ready for this to be over now. It just never really took off for me. I feel like there's definitely ways you could have done more interesting things with this, even with no budget, than I felt like they did do. I know I'm way in the minority because audiences have generally really liked this. But yeah, I found this kind of dull, despite admiring the chutzpah of them even trying to pull it off in the first place. I am going to give this 6 out of 10 times in the last couple seconds of this movie. I kept waiting for the soundtrack to go. I did, for that record, would like to point out that I really liked the music and the sound cues. The audio editing on this thing by Eric Alexander and Jared Bulmer is fantastic.
So good.
It's definitely, if I was like a production guy and somebody's like, oh, look at this thing, everyone here wants a job, who would you hire? Those are the people I would hire, because they just knocked it out of the park, which I know everyone's like, oh, well, that's all you had to say, motherfucker. I didn't know the audio editing was going to be that good. Now, how much is it? $20? $30? You got my money.
Give him credit for the sound was fairly simple and basic, where too many times it's made to be super extraterrestrial or overcooked or synthesized, or it sounds like a language but not from a human throat or whatever. No, they kept it really, like, it almost sounded like an AC that you're wondering, should I get that checked out or not? Like, it was really subtle, and I appreciate that.
It would have been really anticlimactic if at the end it turned out it was just somebody's air conditioning that needed repair.
Maybe I should have given it 8 out of 10 AC repairman. Dang.
Maybe.
All right.
Ah, damn it.
AC repairman from outer space.